Blog Talk Radio.
Feeling good. You know, I was in the big house this weekend. Almost watched the second coming of Appalachian State. But I'm glad to be back in the booth.
Michigan looked like the Amir Khan of football. Okay.
Greg Scalzo, TJ Hogan here, and we're now being joined by friend of show Devon Wilson of Real Sports Guys. You can follow them on Twitter at Real Sports Guys. What's up, Devon?
We'll enter the cipher a little bit on this one. I'm still scratching on this thing. We're going to enter the cipher a little bit. We're going to a little bit here today because we're going to have a special interview given everything that's been going on with the coronavirus. In about 30 minutes, we'll have a good friend of mine and I say emerging voice in college sports, Sean Fraser, who is the athletic director at NIU, Northern Illinois University. He was a former deputy athletic director at the University of Wisconsin with Barry Alvarez. He's a voice in terms of college athletics, and I thought this time would be good. He's one of the people that I see has the best balance between, understanding how to develop a program, and then he has a real commitment to student-athlete development and student rights. I think he has a really good balance around that. So it's a great voice for us to hear from as part of this. But before we get into that kind of conversation, I got to bring my co-host on everything here to the into the building. I'm gonna start with the youngin. He's in the building. What's up, Darnell? How you doing?
I'm a little under the weather. I know that's a little cause because I work at the hospital, working with patients and stuff. But man, not doing too well. 2020 has not been a good year, man. I got breaking news for you. I don't know if Devon's heard it. I'm talking to the group, but the original Black Mamba, Roger Mayweather, passed away about an hour ago.
Yeah.
Man, yep. It's horrible news.
Horrible
and
news.
Prayers be with the family, because Floyd Mayweather's child, his child's mother passed away last week, and they're going through that. And Roger, we know he's been sick for in autopsy for a couple of years, but even when it seems sort of expected, it still can hit hard for you. So just prayer for him. Keep him in your thoughts. I'll pass to Hank.
Yeah, I think at this time, it's all about how are we living in community, right? How are we supporting each other, and just so many things, that so many layers to life right now that so many people are dealing with. It's important for us to be in community around it. Yeah, when you said that to the group, I was just like, not another blow, and that's just another difficult blow, particularly in the sports world. We got my man Hank. How you doing, Hank?
Under the circumstances, I'm going to say that I'm blessed.
Yes.
I want to say to the people out there, stay healthy, stay positive, keep your head to the sky. Happy St. Patrick's Day, ironically. This would usually be a day where folks would be out celebrating and really getting a drink on, if you will, wearing green, which I wouldn't go never do. Like I said, under the circumstances, I guess relatively well. To say to everybody out there to stay healthy is an understatement, but to stay woke is another thing I would say. Darnell said, this year has not really got off to a great start. But what won't kill you will make you stronger, as they say. And so we continue to live each day, and we just keep going day by day.
Yeah. And, we started this show in this movement to be in a position to talk about these kinds of issues and to unpack them, but at the same time, find those opportunities to uplift spirits. And, And so, you know, we're going to, you know, we're going to backtrack. You know, it's funny because Darnell and I had a chance to at least talk about this a little bit in our previous podcast. You get a chance to go to Sports Guys Facebook page. We had a Facebook Live session. We also had with Dougie Fisher, which was an excellent one, looking at, you know, the impact of the virus through the lens of someone who was in that combat sports world. And so we're kind of looking at this different aspects, but we didn't get a chance to hear Hank's voice, who, you know, that he provides us with this kind of, you know, this long view perspective, because, you know, he's the OG in the building. So he's had more life in there. But I think also, Hank, you know, as Darnell mentioned, between the three of us, we spent, you know, our families are very much connected in kind of the large university hospital environment, which you go through a lot of different trainings in space. Like, things like this are part of discussions as a norm. And you worked in a management space at a place like University of Michigan Hospital that is about readiness, where you're going through simulations, where people are involved in these conversations, where it's part of training. You know, so I thought it was important to not only get your perspective about just kind of how you were thinking as this stuff was unpacking from a sports perspective, but also as somebody who has worked in a profession for a long time and worked in hospital management and understood a level of readiness that you've had to have for a pandemic like this. So I love your perspective.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that I look at it now, and I remember that when we were going through our training, and we would always go through a training, maybe once a year, of a worst case scenario pandemic, where we actually went and used one of the recreational facility buildings as a place to house patients. You know, in the event that it had become so widespread, that we had become so overwhelmed, that we would actually be able to have a mobile hospital, if you will, probably at the Central Campus Recreational Building, CCRB, y'all know who I'm talking about, at the University of Michigan's campus. And it would always be based upon just in a worst-case scenario. But I recall and I remember what we would do, you know, and I happened to be manager of patient equipment, durable medical equipment, as we prepared for viruses like SARS and H1N1, also known as the swine flu, also known and the Ebola scare. And I have to tell you that I remember that they were able to brief us on what these viruses could do, on what the fatality rate was, on what we needed to prepare for as healthcare professionals, where we would go to get, you know, additional resources. All these things was planned out. This was, for some reason, and it frustrates me to no end, knowing the preparedness and knowing that the folks like Darnell and my son and others who are still at the university are there and understanding some of those what we thought was tedious training exercises, what they're going through right now, to have this unknown. And I can honestly say to you, and I'm not a doctor, nor do I profess to be one, I can only tell you what I've witnessed, and I can only tell you what I've seen, that when we've had things like this before, they could say what the fatality rate was. They could tell you, you know, what the concern was. Could you convalesce at home? I've never seen it, and I know no one else in this country has ever seen it, where you had a massive shutdown like this, and then all you get is "I don't know" as an answer. That, to me, concerns me more than anything else, because this was something that the Center of Disease Control, and I'm not getting political, but I know this was something that they always got this country aware of way ahead of time to prevent a massive panic. And, you know, as we talk about it more, I know that when you don't know what you don't know, then you err on the side of caution, which is great and which is fantastic. But when I look up and I hear things, you know, from folks being infected, but they don't have a fatality rate, or folks that's not getting severely ill. You know, we heard about Rudy Gobert. We heard about Donovan Mitchell on the sports side. We heard about Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson on the entertainment side, and as recently, Idris Elba on the entertainment side, all of which.
Kevin Durant too, no.
Huh?
Kevin Durant, too, now.
Kevin Durant. But all of which, until we hear something, have all recovered. In fact, Donovan Mitchell never even got sick. He was what they call a symptom. You know, he didn't have any symptoms. So my point is, okay, so if you got something that's not making anybody sick, what's really going on? And, you know, we've had this in our past, in our history. You're talking about old school, you know, the chicken pox was highly contagious. And you could see what it would do to you. And so was the measles and so was the mumps. In fact, we had a measles epidemic just recently because folks stopped getting their kids vaccinated. But yet we knew what to do. Now, I know the health care professionals are saying because we don't know how to treat it yet, we don't know what it can do. But we know it's a coronavirus, just like SARS was a coronavirus. You know, so somebody's got to be able to answer what is this that at this point that you have whole communities, whole states talking about doing a full quarantine, and yet you can't really give a true fatality rate on this thing or a sickness rate. We just know that the healthcare system is being overwhelmed because of the panic of the country. Okay, if you get the sniffles, now everybody's running to the ER. And that's the thing about this one that I think that, and for some of us who's done this, it's really kind of frustrating because the answers are not readily available.
Hank, I thank you. And we're fortunate enough to have our special guest with us that I'll bring on because, Hank, I think you really set a good context. And, you know, before I bring Sean Fraser on, he's someone for me that is, I say, emerging verse in college athletics. He probably is not aware that I follow a lot of what he says. You know, he's a former colleague of mine at University of Wisconsin-Madison when he was there working with Barry Alvarez. Now he is the Associate Vice President and Director of Athletics at Northern Illinois University. But I consider him someone that is important to have here at a time when we're trying to understand what's going on, and particularly with the intersection of sports. And so, Sean, where are you? Welcome, Real Sports Guys. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Devon. How are you, my brother?
Man, we're doing well. I said, as soon as stuff was going down, I said, I need to talk to my guy, Sean, because there's so much been happening. And, you know, one of the things that, first of all, I want to take a more big picture. You know, I know you as a husband, a father, a family person and everything else. When this stuff was starting to happen, just your initial reaction as you were beginning to see that were changing. What was that like for you?
Well, I think we're all, you know, just listening to the show and just coming out of some crisis meetings. And I do apologize for being late. It hits home. You know, this is about safety. This is about health. Coming back and canceling championships and other things that we're currently doing. It's real. And I think that either stopping talk about your personal impact or what personally is happening with you. So I'm worried about my loved ones and the folks that I serve. So yeah, it's real. It's scary. There's a lot of concern, a lot of angst. And I just want to make sure that I can do everything I can to keep the people that I work for and work with and my family safe as possible.
And, you know, and you, you're in, and one of the things I think is important when I talk about you being associate vice president, I mean, you're in senior level leadership meetings at the university. And also you have this leadership level responsibility, you know, not only in athletics, but also the role you play in your conference. I know you're a voice in the college athletic space. You know, one of the things that we found as things start to go down is that you start to see the strength of organizational designs. I know you have been a long kind of person trying to help the NCAA kind of get better alignment around things. And we saw the conferences moving at different levels. Then we saw the NCAA kind of working. What was that process like when y'all made a decision around to you know, stop the MAC tournament? Other things started happening. To help people who don't understand how this kind of works and how the communication works, how did it all unfold from your perspective as an AD, as someone who's watching this from a national position?
Well, first off, this stuff is happening at an extremely fast, heightened rate of pace. Very fluid. extremely, a lot of cause and effect, a lot of moving pieces. So if I can get all those descriptors out there. So it happened quickly. You know, I think just listening to your last speaker talking about what we knew, what we didn't know, but this thing hit and picked up speed rather quickly as far as the level of process that it could for contamination, sanitation, all the things that, quite frankly, the concerns kind of rung the bell. So as far as the Mac is concerned, and you're going to get a bit, I'm about to scoop myself because I'm actually putting some of this stuff out as we speak. But it happened quickly because of the fact that we dealt with the professional NBA. You know, I got to Cleveland on March 11th. There was the evening of, and that's when the NBA suspended its season. And we had, on the women's side, we had the number of teams that were participating in the MAC championship. And then that evening, the NBA suspended its season. And then all of a sudden, we had reports about the folks concocting COVID-19. And then all of a sudden, it was it. You know, that people were having internal conversations about, should we be playing anything, basketball, any sport? And then that's when the next morning we had some meetings with our commissioner, presidents, league officials, a number of the venue that we were participating in. And we came to the conclusion in a very short rat of time, you know, from 8 o'clock that morning to roughly 10:30, 11 o'clock that afternoon, that it wasn't in the best interest for us to put safety on display, that we need to make sure that safety and health were the number one things. And henceforth, we called the tournament, we canceled, and then you saw a number of other of our sister and brother conferences do the same, and then eventually the NCAA doing the same. So that happened real quick, and it was for the right reasons and for the right thing to do.
And, you know, one of the things lost in all this is that, I mean, as an AD, you know, you're not just talking like so much attention on the tournament, but you also got spring sports that are about to launch. You know, you have a lot of athletes. You know, my niece is a student athlete at Indiana, and her coach put a video out. You know, I happened to spend some time with them, all the summer workouts they did, like getting up to that moment. What was the conversation like with student athletes? What was the conversation like? You know, it's the right decision because at some point, the adults, quote, have to make the decision that's best for the larger bee. But what's the conversation with these young people who prepare for this moment? Like, this is Mark going to have an opportunity after this. How have y'all been engaging them and helping them work through this?
Well, it's been devastating. You know, as a former student athlete, former coach, and now administrator, to sit in front of, you know, especially the seniors in the room, we have three seniors on our basketball team that were gearing up to play less than 45 minutes to an hour later, and I'm sitting in front talking about termination of their season, termination of their goal. We were the fourth seed, got a bye to our tournament. Our kids sat out the first round because they earned it, and we had a shot to win it all. It's the first time we've been in that situation since 2005, 2006 season. And basically, these seniors put it on the line to get to where they were. And we canceled that. We stopped that abruptly. And not only did we stop that, we stopped all spring sports and all championships. So you're talking about going to 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds and basically changing everything they do and know. So, yeah, they were unconsolable. That's the best way I can put it. They were unconsolable, extremely emotional. They understood the sacrifice because of their adult nature and understanding what was at stake. But as far as their disappointment, it was extreme. And not just the students, but the coaches and the staff and all of us that understood what this meant. So from a historic standpoint, it's something that I hope never gets replicated. But I stand by the decision. But it was just a complete devastation. By uttering those words and talking to those young people.
One of the things, there's been a lot of conversations, and, you know, right now we got to be in the moment, as you said. You know, both of us are in our college administrative hats, and this stuff is fluid, and we're getting emails, and, you know, we're shutting down campuses, and, you know, we're not on the other side of this. But one of the things that, you know, it still probably is the right decision, but there was a question about whether or not, from the basketball standpoint, because the spring sport thing is a whole other piece of this, as well as the winter sports, but whether or not they could have been talking about postpone. Now, we're finding now that postpone is probably not going to be the thing to work, but it represented an opportunity for some type of communication. Was there any, do you know of any kind of conversation between the commissioners and President Emmert or the leadership? What's that communication mechanism like when you're in a situation like that? Was there any, like you had a board of governors for the NBA, was there a call of all the commissioners? Is that a mechanism that is available? What can you tell us about that mechanism?
Yeah, I can give you only from Mac's perspective. And John Steinbrecher, our commissioner, who sits on a number of those national governing bodies for the NCAA, as well as with the other commissioners. But I can say that there was communication between President Emmert and a number of other factions of organization, Board of Governors and other commissioners and the like. I think what's happening with this, because it was so fluid, so quick, and because the NBA decisively made their decision the night before, that there was a lot of this conversation already ongoing, because we did know about COVID-19 and the virus, but again, it was about the safety. Can we ensure safety for the folks that are playing? Can we ensure safety for the participants and fans? And before we even got to Cleveland, where our championship was, we already made a determination that there'd be no fans and very limited personnel around the tournament. So that was done prior to getting to Cleveland. What changed is that there were some people who actually concocted the actual COVID-19 disease, and they were in the building, and we had talked about, you know, sanitation and health and safety and all those things, and it just escalated where folks felt that there was too much exposure, and henceforth we had to make the call, the error on the safety side versus saying, okay, we should get this championship in. So I think that to answer the director question about the NCAA, I think they were dealing with the NCAA tournament, and could they salvage it? Could they provide the safety? Could they ensure the fact that there was not going to be more spread of the virus? And I think that timing got in the way, and then all of a sudden, a lot of the other conferences, including the MAC, said, hey, we got to do what's right for safety, and henceforth, that's why those things got done before the actual tournament from the NCAA was suspended.
Thank you, thank you. So, you know, as we, you know, I know you got a lot going on, and if you're anything like me, your phone is going, you got stuff going on, emails, things changing every 20 minutes. We don't want to keep you long because we love to have you come back. You've been on my list to get on the air on a number of issues. You're always somebody who is you're always someone who can look around the corner. That's what I love about you. You can see you are always trying to be ahead of the curve in this stuff.
If I could, I would like to ask Sean a question, if I could, Devon.
Okay.
Sean, how you doing? This is Hank, and welcome to our show. The question I have for you, as an administrator, as a AD, and having all of these instant, you know, just sudden cancellations of all of these different sports, going all the way through to we know it's the early spring, and now we're hearing maybe sometimes in the summer and August. At this point, what is your next steps? You know, we're looking at so many different sporting events that's going to be canceled. What is your next steps on either trying to pick up some on the sport or just total cancellations? Where you sit right now, what are your next steps to try to resume once you get some sort of all clear? What's your next step trying to get resume some sort of sense of normalcy?
Well, you know, this is the new normal, my friend. You know, I in the last past a few days here, it's been a flurry of just adjustments based on what's happened in the state of Illinois where I'm at versus what's happening nationally, what's happening with, you know, the last bureaucrat or administrator making a decision, and then we're being reactive to a lot of that the most recent is the closing of restaurants and public areas, and
right.
So we're constantly updating and adjusting because we have a COVID-19 response plan for the athletics that's in alignment with what's going on at the university, and the university has to be in alignment of what's happening with the state side. Do you see where I'm going with that? So,
right.
So I think that to answer your question up front is that once we get to some idea of the new normal, and we have if we slow down the spread of COVID-19, we can then start projecting out. Because right now in the media, every 5 minutes is a public event or athletic event that's being canceled or being postponed or being pushed back. So every time that happens, it forces us to calibrate and react to that, and further it puts it out another month or another week before we can get to what we thought would be normal. Do you see what I'm saying? So we're all in this, we're in this kind of wait and see. We're in this kind of, okay, this is what we think is going to happen in June. This is what we think is going to happen in July. This is what we think is going to happen in August. And then there's going to be key indicators in that say, okay, let's move it out another month. Let's move it out another month. So that's why right now we're kind of a wait and see versus a planning 6 months to 9 months, because it's all about the spread of COVID-19. And then how do we fit our schedules into that spread before we can start planning and having hardcore plans in place? And that's the unfortunate thing that's currently happening right now, because we're very reactionary instead of being proactive. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right, exactly. Thank you.
Yeah. That was hitting right on a question. I was saying, Hank, you hit it right on the board with that. Sean, as I wrap a little bit with you, kind of what's been the ongoing way in which you've been trying to, you know, keep the athletes engaged? How, obviously life for them has changed in terms of the academic side. You know, you've always been someone that I've appreciated because you're committed to the student athlete development. You know, what have been some of the strategies y'all been trying to do to try to keep your student athletes engaged and connected? What's been, how's you as coaches and all your staff been trying to work with those athletes to kind of keep things moving even in the face of this?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I'll be upfront with you. That's a great question. Here's the thing, guys. This is a tough process because even as we speak, our institution is going to remain open, okay? It's going to be open, but it's going to have restricted access, right, because of the spread. Mm. You know, we can't have groups more than 10 people. We have to make sure that things are properly clean and and we're practicing social distance and all the things, quite frankly, that the World Health Organization as well as our state representatives are making sure that we observe. So this whole interaction piece with our athletes, those that have made the commitment to stay around and be in our dorms or be in the community, we are bracing for the unintended consequences of some of the things that we're doing on campus. And some of that's going to affect our young people on the mental health side. So what we chose to do is to make sure that we're paying attention to that we've got the professionals on the mental health side available to our young people that are around, and not just to our young people, but to our staff. I find myself walking around totally defenseless, understanding what's going on next, because my world has been all about intercollegiate athletics and sports. And North American culture, the sports and athletics, it plays a major part of our identities, our interactions, the way that we see ourselves. And I'm not saying that that's good. I'm just saying that that's the reality of what goes on. So my mental health is going to be affected because now is very few of that opportunity out there for people. So people now are trying to gravitate on how they're going to be able to help themselves, but also, too, their self-identities and they're going to start having some issues and effects around the mental health side. So I chose, and our people have chosen, my senior staff have chose, to make sure that we keep people close and that we're providing other outlets of engagement so we're monitoring this whole mental health situation so we're not creating another unintended consequence with having people that are having self-injurious behavior or other types of things that go on with the mental health issues that are associated with the lack of having this routine of sports in their life. So, yeah, these are things that, unfortunately, I've had a lot of time without large amounts of sleep to deal with, but you know, I just come out of a meeting talking about, hey, let's make sure we check our guys and gals, because this thing here, just to stop training abruptly without providing a void of the ability to have an outlet is going to have consequences from it. So we just, as student affairs of professionals and being student-centered, we got to make sure we engage our young people and our staff so we don't have something that could possibly pop off because of the limited sport access and the restricted nature of what this virus is basically having us do to keep everybody safe.
Man, we appreciate you. You know I got to have you back. And as a Husky, as someone got his graduate degree at Northern Illinois, I'm glad you're there. And I know I need to get back on the ground. And as soon as we're able to do it, I'm going to come down there and connect you. I know that's been on my list to go see you. But I'm also am appreciative as we're going through this that you are part of the leadership fabric for this. So, you know I'm always out here cheerleading for you. And I hope as our listeners, they can see why at this time it was important for us to hear from you. And so thank you, brother, for everything. You have a great evening and, be safe and also take care of yourself, self-care.
Yeah, and I would say anytime you want me back, I do appreciate it. This is very timely. Anything I can do to provide to the show, thank you. And Devon, you're family, my friend. You know that. You got the double sword. You got the NIU piece, and you got the Wisconsin thing. And I can tell you what, you got complete access. Whatever I can do for you, or whatever I can share light, I'm quite sure there's probably gonna be a lot of different nuances. You don't even just hit me up. I'm there for you, my brother. God bless you both.
All right. Be well, brother. Take care.
All right now. Take care. God bless. Mm.
Bye. All right. That was Sean Frazier, who is Associate Vice President and Director of Athletics at Northern Illinois University. But he is an incredible voice in college sports. He was a former Deputy Athletic Director at University of Wisconsin, did so much to broaden out that program from women's hockey to facilities. But his biggest thing, I believe, is his impact on diversifying at college athletics is a big place he's been doing it, but also the emphasis on student athlete development and being out there about being right by our student athletes. And you can hear from that from the way in which, his remarks regarding what's happening here with coronavirus and the pandemic and the impact as we think about it through the intersection of sports and society. I'm about to bring my boys back to the table. Hank and Darnell, just kind of reflect. Darnell, I know we had you out there on the wing setting screens because we were trying to get through the interview, but what's your reaction, Hank?
Man, it's all right. I can stand in the corner. I can play the Kyle Korver role every now and again. But
we know.
It's just good to hear him talk and hear his perspective on the matter, coming from an athletic director, somebody that really is in this field. He's on the ground working every day, so I really appreciate him coming on and sharing his wisdom with us. So I just I'm grateful for him.
Yeah, I thought one of the interesting things I was hoping for him to help us understand is some of the behind the scenes. There was a lot of public media scrutiny around how the decisions came about, and that it seemed like the NCAA was lagging. But when you hear him talk about it, there was a lot of moving parts happening behind the scenes, and there was some conversation happening between certain conference commissioners and the NCAA and timing. But in situations like this, you got to make some decisions locally, right? Even when you're waiting for the larger one to make a decision, So there's some things that throw the timing off. So it was good to hear from his perspective about how that all came about. Hank.
You know, he said what I pretty much thought he was going to say. When I heard him say that when they got to Cleveland, that the NBA had canceled their season, that pretty much was the lantern in the window, okay, of the old North Church. That was the sign right there that it's time to move and do something different. And they felt they followed suit with that because this COVID-19, no one knew anything about it outside that it was highly contagious and there was people overseas that had died from it. And that was enough. And so as an administrator, they made that decision, okay? We cannot put ourselves at risk. Do I think there could have been some sort of media scrutiny? Of course I do. But I also believe that, you know, when you don't know, that's even more scary. It's like walking down a dark tunnel in a city you've never been in, okay? You're going to be on guard. And I believe that the MAC, Northern Illinois, the NBA, and then all the other sports followed suit simply because the unknown was too great. And because the unknown was too great, I think when you hear it from his side is that we didn't know enough about COVID-19 except that it was highly contagious, it was spreading fast, and we were not going to put our student-athletes at risk. That is a very responsible decision. And I applaud all that has made that decision. Again, from where I sit, though, the frustration comes from there needs to be some answers right now. I know this is the new normal. I am one that is skeptical, not calling this a hoax. I know that this disease, this virus, is very real. I don't want to leave that impression. But what I am saying is that why in the world do we not have the answers we need to have so that the citizens of this country can figure out what direction to go in? I do have a problem with quarantine at home with no answers because it's out there somewhere. And what happens if I go out there and I catch it? And what I know for a fact that the extremes are so out there where you could be asymptomatic to if you've got some sort of underlying medical condition that you could die from it or not, or you could carry it and not know it. That's way too many what if factors. And you know, the powers that be need the citizens of this country need more than that. You know, this is a great country, and the fact of the matter is, and what I mean by that is the home of the free. You could do what you want to do, but you're telling folks now you're putting everybody under martial law without actually doing it, and you're not giving them any reason why outside of scaring them half to death that they could either die or not. And that to me is just that's too big of a range. There's too many variables there.
And I think one of the things we're finding out is that we're not going to get too political here on this one, but there is, except for the fact I think what you're talking about because it's part of the decision making part. But there's widespread understanding that there's a discussion about the possibility as part of the transition process. You know, the inability, part of making government work is getting people in the right place, getting folks approved, getting your infrastructure in place. And so we know there was delays with this administration with getting people in place, which allows for you to get out in front on a lot of things. And where we're behind is on having enough tests. And a lot of that has to have approvals, governmental agencies, part of it. And so what you find, and what's interesting about what's been interesting about athletics and what some of these major universities have understood is the power of the governor. Like the governor, I was going to work on a project, you know, the governor weighed in on some things, and, you know, the governors are beginning to put their print on this, which is affecting the way these can operate, which was part of the dominoes falling with some of these conferences. You know, ACC, you know, once Duke was determined that Duke's not going to be participating, a lot of that stuff came down from on high in a lot of different ways. So now you got a lot of independent decisions happening with good people making good decisions. But as you said, we are slow to having kind of a nationwide understanding. Now we're seeing Kevin Durant has been infected. So there's just so much. What's been interesting about this is that a lot of times with things like this, it has a socioeconomic framework to it. You know, so, you know, people who are highly visible are usually protected through these national crises, no matter what, right? For the most part. And this has broken all of that. And I think when, you know, Rudy was infected, now you got KD, Tom Hanks, it's saying everybody is at risk for real. And what'd you say?
I said, it kind of reminds me of Adrian Broner meme I saw on Twitter. They said coronavirus be like, he's like, anybody can get it. African, American.
And that's what's got the fear. There are no boundaries, right?
But here's the thing, too, that I guess, and this is where I'm losing my mind, you know, because it's like, okay, everybody can get it, and it will make you sick, all right? But how sick? You know, and the reason why I ask that question, and trust what I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be facetious, and I'm not trying to poo-poo this off. But we had an Ebola scare several years ago, and Ebola absolutely killed people. It had upwards of 90% fatality rate. It destroyed your kidneys. It destroyed your internal organs. It made you bleed inside and out. It was some dangerous stuff. Okay, if you can, and that's the kind of thing there where you're talking about population control. If that was the kind of thing there that if that had got over here to that country, knowing the effects of it, and this is where I'm going with this, knowing the true effects of this, that disease was scary, absolutely terrifying. Here we have something, and I know they're calling it a novel virus because they don't know, but I don't understand. Our country, I don't understand where the ball got dropped. It's not so much that it's not contagious. I'm not saying that. But where did the ball get dropped where these variables are so vast that they're so out there that at this point, where you have states about to shut down, quarantines of New York City, you can't be around 10 feet, around 10 people, 6 feet around 10 people. That's some people's whole family. They're telling grandkids not to visit their grandparents. I mean, just things that, if you think about it from a biblical sense, that it goes against just the very moral fabric that we are nothing if we don't have relationships. And this disease is single-handedly telling us not to even engage one to another, not to touch each other, not to wash everything down. You're talking about just the social dismantlement of this world, and it's like no one has got any answers for it. And it, to me, it's like I want to scream out loud. It's like it's bigger than just staying healthy. It's bigger than just, you know, buying a bunch of damn toilet paper every day. You know, you need better answers than that. You know, and to me, it's like come with something. Don't tell me. I know the hospitals are overwhelmed because you've created a panic. So the hospitals are overwhelmed. Everybody's afraid to die, but they don't understand that the new normal could be so much worse. The new normal could be that you are afraid to touch, to be able to even converse with your fellow man, simply because won't nobody give us any answers. And I don't understand why nobody sees that more than what it is right now. And that you can't give anybody, you're telling people literally not to go to work, not to do anything for weeks at a time. For weeks at a time with no answers, with no other reasons other than the fact that you could possibly get sick and you could possibly give it to somebody else. But you can't give it to somebody else because you're not even associated with anybody else. And that grinds me. That grinds me as a citizen. That grinds me as a human being. That we're not demanding more than that. Don't just give me the science answers. Give me something else and give me something quick and work on that quick. I know the testing and everything is important. But at this point, they're saying things that you could not even have been confirmed and have a case and have had it for months and be fine. Who knows? But the thing about it now is you've got a national panic, and it is a national panic because you've got people that has had this disease and have recovered, but they've been quarantined. You've got people who's carrying the virus, never got sick, but they're being quarantined. There's some crazy going on, and that needs to be out there, and we deserve answers for that.
Your answers is leadership. it's a dysfunctional response that's not dissimilar to a lot of things that we had to deal with. These things are usually controlled and handled with leadership that comes from Washington that says this is what you should do. Where you have a constant voice who is out here at the night giving you updates, right? And that has not been the cadence for this. So the reason why we have this dysfunction is because we haven't had the same delivery system. You know, you didn't have even when Bush said, you know, basically gave you the message that, you know, we are not going to be pushed back after 9/11, you know, and this is what we're going to do. Like Obama, you know, in a recession saying, blah, 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 you know, there's a cadence that goes along that we don't have here. What we have is what we had. So that's where the breakdown happens, you know. And then the next layer of it is that the scientists are going to do what they need to do because they're committed to making it happen. They're going to try to put out. You start to get responsible organizations that are trying to then provide the leadership. CDC is like, we got to have the brand. You start getting corporate America folks so what ends up happening is then you got governors who say, hey, I got to take care of my constituents. So that's why we are where we are. Because we don't have a national cadence around this. And so until we get that, you know, I think it's a microcosm of what the NCAA is a microcosm of what we saw and what Sean talked about. You know, without a national structure to have a rollout of college athletics, you know, because it's loosely coupled, you had to count on great leaders in all these different places to make the right decision. So
I agree.
Like the NBA that said we got a cadence, right? Came out. Commissioners like this one, everybody's walking in the same direction. Owners are going, the governors are going the same way. So that's what we're missing with this that I think is the problem. I think that's beginning to turn the corner because it's demanding it, right? Because at this point now you got to have it, a conversation. You got to have somebody who's a voice who's helping us do this. But I think that's why this is unpacked the way it has.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you there. You know, like I said, you're almost afraid to say anything because it almost sounds like a political message, even though that's not what it's trying to be. You know,
this is about helping.
But the fact still remains because you know someone should be able to ask the question. Someone should be clearly ask the question. Okay, how bad is this? What happens if I get it? Is it okay? You know, and what if everybody get it? Are people going to die? Or how many? You know, just. Because the reason why I ask those questions that way is because you can say the same thing about the flu. You can say the same thing about the common cold. You can say the same thing about certain allergies. You know, they could exacerbate into something else, and you could become severely ill. You know, we have viruses that we all walk around with every day that depending upon your environment, could exacerbate into something greater. And where is this one, especially when we know that coronavirus has been around, especially when we know that we have, that if you look at a bottle of Lysol, it says kills coronavirus, one of them, because SARS is one. So, see, these are sort of things, these are sort of questions I'm saying that, you know, someone should come out and say to us and to kind of at least ease the panic of these citizens. You know, you've had some people who's had this thing and they've survived. You've had some people who had this thing and they did not survive. But what's the middle ground here? You know, and when you go back to that leadership piece, since we don't have any sports, since we can't go to the movies, since we can't go to the bar, since we can't do anything else, since the only thing that's on TV is SpongeBob SquarePants, at least they could tell us something.
Well, I tell you right now, I've been watching these reruns. These reruns are off the hook. Watching old fights, old games. I'm like, I've been entertaining myself with this. But you know, it's funny because people are like, well, it's about washing your hands and keeping clean. Like anybody who's been at a sporting event and watched the number of people who walk out of the restroom and never wash their hands.
Oh, like, that's disgusting.
That alone. I shut it down on that alone. You ain't never spent no time in a stadium.
Oh my God, that's disgusting. I have seen that. That is so disgusting.
And I'm saying. Based on that image, like we got to shut it down right now, because these cats ain't changing they ways today, and I'm not going to have to deal with all that. I'm gonna be watching this stuff through closed circuit TV, I'm okay
with
that.
But you ask yourself, too, you, knowing that that already existed, and yet we didn't fall dead on our faces knowing what we've seen in some of these arenas, ought to tell you about some of the resolve of what we have as human beings.
That's right. I was like, these don't wash their hands anyway. I'm like, woo, I'm watching from home. I ain't got no time for all this. You got it. Well, hey, this has been a great conversation. I'm glad we're in it. Please go to our Real Sports Guys Facebook page. We're doing stuff. We'll be posting stuff on realsportsguys.com. We got a number of guests that we're going to be having coming up with this. You know, we want to thank, again, Sean Fraser for spending time with us. As we always do, we're going to have to drop the mic, you know, with our man Hank, because he's been hot today. So we got to end with the elder spokesman.
Thank you. I want to start by first telling each and every one of you out there to stay healthy. But stay awoke, too. Okay? Don't panic. You know, the Bible tells us that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. So pay attention. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't forget what you know. All right? Pay attention to the signs and symptoms that's going on in your body and with those of your loved ones. But also, pay attention to those things that you don't know. Continue to ask yourself questions. As I have really said a lot, what happens if I get this thing? Am I going to die right away? Probably not. And that's what they're telling you. If you've got someone in your family that is got health problems, then maybe you wouldn't go around them if you were sick anyway, would you? So don't panic. Don't panic. And above all else, don't buy more toilet paper than you have food. You know, that's a cause and effect thing. You eat, then you go to the bathroom. So you don't need 188 rolls of toilet paper if you've only got 2 hot dogs and 3 pieces of bread. I'm keeping it light here because we'll get past this. There's a lot of things that has gone through this country, has gone on in this world that we have survived. Okay, and this is and I pray this is not one of those things that is so catastrophic that we can't get over. I know we can. Leadership has been in question, so other leaders have taken the mantle to make sure that we're all safe. But we will get past this. I am one who maybe I'm too much of an optimist, but I believe we will get back to a sense of normalcy. We will get back to having relationships where we can high-five each other, where we can, you know, cheer for each other and jump up and down. You know, I hope that for some of y'all who are leaving those bathrooms, those arenas, I hope this will coerce you to wash your hands and make sure they're clean. But above all else, we're all in this together. We will get through this together. And I cannot wait till we come back on these airwaves and talk to you all again about things that we love so much, sports, real sports, from the Real Sports Guys. Y'all stay safe out there. We love you, and peace out.